Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Thanks for downloading and subscribing. This week it's Swindon Town v Newcastle United. Newcastle represented by Lindsay Hipgrave and Terry Alderton. Hello to you.
Hello, Charlie.
Excited to be on a podcast.
Absolutely.
Very much.
Yeah, creaming it in from the podcast money. Everyone's, whoa. Ivo and Natalie representing Swindon Town. Excited?
Always. It's always lovely to be here.
Ivo?
Yes. It's an absolute pleasure, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Sounded like you meant it as well. Now, this week we do Sporting Heretics. Of course, every week we do it. We've got wind of yours, Natalie, early on in the week. Found out what it was. It was about shirts, wasn't it? England shirts.
Yes, maybe.
And we put it out on Twitter. We asked people what they thought of your heretic. And I'll give you the results of that at the end of the podcast. Ooh. And here it is. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that pits fan against fan in a gladiatorial battle of wits. Our guests may have been picked last for games at school, but here they're given the chance to represent the team they've always supported. But whose name will the fans sing and who's not fit to wear the shirt? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Welcome to Glory Hunters. This week's second round tie sees Newcastle take on Swindon Town. Representing Newcastle, our team captain, Terry Alderton, who's alongside Lindsay Hipgrave. Hello, you two.
Hello.
We'll come back to you in a minute. Wait. Leading out the Robins is Natalie Sawyer, who's with comedian Ivo Graham. Ivo, are you the biggest fan that Swindon Town has got? Because I've looked. The only other one I could find was Willie Carson.
Well, he's put more of his money into the club than I have.
Has he?
Although I have recently made a sizable investment to become a sponsor. It's received.
Who have you sponsored, Ivo?
I've sponsored Archie Matthews, Swindon's third choice goalkeeper, a youth team product who's hoping to break into the first team over the next couple of years.
He's one of your own.
He's one of our own. And,
is this a full kit type sponsorship?
My name and face won't be on the kit, but it is in the programme.
So Archie Matthews, is he likely to get a game?
I think it's unlikely because we've got Luke McCormick and Swansea loanee Stephen Bender, and both are solid between the sticks.
Lindsay, have you ever sponsored a player or been near?
No, I didn't even know this could happen.
I bet it's expensive at Newcastle.
I've never even heard of it before. There's a couple of players probably need sponsorship, but of a different form. Keep them on the straight and narrow.
Very good. Terry Alderton, Lindsay Hipgrave, playing for Newcastle United.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Steve Bruce shored it all up, hasn't he, Lindsay?
Well, yeah.
Made it all safe.
In a fashion.
Are you happy with the current form, Lindsay, at Newcastle?
We've had a bad run over Christmas, but I think we gave ourselves enough of a cushion that we haven't got to worry too much. I think there's worse than us.
Yeah.
Which is not something to be
there's
happy
a lot
about.
Worse.
But
there's some real dross this year.
Yeah.
Terry, you, yes, of course, have played for Southend.
Indeed.
Very excited.
Yes.
What were you like in the dressing room? Were you sort of a big noise in the dressing room?
Rubbish.
A come on, lads, sort of guy in charge of the ghetto blaster?
No. That wasn't about then. I was very much not. I was the guy in the corner who said nothing.
Oh.
And that was really probably, to be honest, it was probably my downfall in football because I wasn't one for the, what do you call it now, banter.
Yeah, but you've got to be chatty as a goalie, haven't you?
You've got to get the back, yeah, but it's not my style. Yeah, I could, on the pitch I could, I was fine. I actually played at Newcastle as well, funny enough.
Did you
play on the big slope. I couldn't believe how sloped the ground is. Yeah, I played in a thing called The Match on Sky One about 200 years ago. And so I played on that ground, that hallowed turf. Mm. Wonderful, wonderful.
So you weren't chatting in the dressing room? Were you not chatting at school? Were you chatting
yes,
at school?
Yes, school, impressions, having yeah. a fun time, being the class clown. In the dressing room, no, Charlie Baker.
What teacher did you do impression of at school?
Mr. Shugage.
Come on, let's have him.
Mr. Shugage.
Yeah, go on, do
Mr. Shugage.
Yeah, but we need more than that.
Could only say Mr. Shugage.
You say, right, everybody, go back and walk. It's your own time you're wasting.
It's your own time you're wasting. I used to love that when teachers go, it's your own time you're wasting. And they point to the clock, wouldn't they? Yeah. And you'd sit there going, you're
60, How would Mr. Shugage say it?
I'm 13. He'd say, when I'm doing the middle of a joke, Charlie, don't interrupt. Right, that's what he'd say, because you'd kill me punchline. But it doesn't matter. You did it on purpose. And I look at your face.
Because I want you to just do the impression. That's what I'm
trying to... Mr. Shugage, Charlie Baker, shut up. That's how he was like that. Shut up, Charlie Baker.
And now your clock joke.
He'd get really shaky. And what he'd do is he'd point up to the clock, right?
Yeah.
And he'd do it full stretch. You know what it's like when you're kids and they go, it's your own time you're wasting. They point to the clock as to get as close as they can to it. And then you'd sit there going, well, I'm 13 and you're 60. Yeah.
Lindsay, what were you like at school?
I was a bit of a swot.
Were you?
Yeah, I was a bit. I was quite good, actually. Quite
what
sensible.
GCSEs
I talked too much. That was the only bad comments I got at parents' evening, where she just needs to stop talking and distracting everyone. But I did all right.
So what GCSE results did you get, Lindsay?
I got 3 A stars, 7 A's and 2 B's.
Pretty good.
You know what's worrying is, I'm the one sitting around this table that didn't do that kind of exam.
And you did O-levels, did you, Terry?
I did O-level and CSE, but I didn't do any of them. I just didn't go in. I left.
So, the scene is set for Newcastle v Swindon Town, a fixture that's got testimonial written all over it. Right now, it's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
My club's bigger than your club. We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They are free to employ any reasoning they wish. However, it's not about medals on the table. It's an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Now, Ivo and Natalie, you won the chance to go first. Are we ready, Ivo?
Yes.
You've got to tell us why Swindon Town are bigger than Newcastle United, and your 30 seconds starts now.
I have a lot of respect for Newcastle United, or at least I did until earlier this season when I paid my first ever visit to St James's Park or the Sports Direct Arena. Did you know Newcastle is sponsored by Sports Direct? You'll know when you go to the ground. It's absolutely everywhere. What a shameful advertising hoarding that is. At Swindon, you just have the names of classic players, and they used to have one little sign saying Jamie Cullum Jazz Idol, which they had for about 20 years. But it's basically a Mike Ashley museum. We're 3 divisions apart at the moment, but Swindon are the most upwardly mobile team in Britain, whereas Newcastle are stumbling into the abyss. In 18 months' time, we will be in the championship together. You're going to get away with it this season, but not next. Up front this season, we had Owen Doyle for the first half of the season, scored more goals than anyone else in Europe. And this week, we're going to complete the signing of famous fire hydrant Will Grigg. He's coming to Swindon. They've still got Andy Carroll up front and the absolutely hapless Joe Linton. No, thank you. Richie Wellens is the most exciting manager in the country. Steve Bruce is a dinosaur who needs to be put out of his misery. I cannot imagine a fate worse than clinging onto the belief that Newcastle are some sort of big team, whereas Swindon are a small team who are exceeding their expectations and will continue to for some years to come.
Oh, boom! Oh,
blaming the fans for boom. Mike Ashley, though.
He was blaming the fans for Mike Ashley right there.
And
Lindsay.
It's not called the Sports Direct Arena anymore.
I didn't like it when he was looking you in the eye and saying it. It felt very aggressive, but it was very, very good. Lindsay, can you please tell us why Newcastle are a bigger club than Swindon Town?
Well, I'll focus on the positives about Newcastle rather than slagging off Little Swindon, because that would be mean. That would be like bullying, because they're just so small. Because Newcastle aren't a big club. They're actually a huge club, I have to say. Underperforming, yes. Not reaching their potential, yes. But one of the biggest clubs in the world, in one of the most iconic cities in the world. The stadium, yours holds, what, 16,000? Ours stands over the city like a temple. The fan base is amazing. Some of the biggest attendances in the Premier League. The fans are football mad. They're friendly. They know how to have a good night out, know how to party. I've never met a single person who has never had a good night out in Newcastle. You won't hear anyone say a bad word about it. Swindon are in the fourth division. We're in the Premier League. That is lower than Sunderland. In 1994, the last time we met, Newcastle battered you 7-1. The Premier League's all-time leading scorer is the Geordie. The greatest player, naturally gifted player to ever play for England is a Geordie. Also one of the best managers in world football, respected by everybody, Sir Bobby Robson, also a Geordie. Some of the most famous people from Newcastle, Anton Deck, Sting and Rowan Atkinson. You've got Countdown's Nick Hewer and Billy Piper.
Excellent, superb answers.
Very good.
I'm going to give Lindsay one goal and Ivo two goals for the phrase, the Mike Ashley Museum.
Are we ready? I love these quotes, by the way. Ji Sung Park is probably not as young as he was when he first arrived at Old Trafford all those years ago.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
I'm going to invite each member of the panel to share an idea or opinion they believe will change sport for the better. Previous suggestions have included abolishing half-time, a transfer window for fans, and even renaming football. This is an exercise in thinking the unthinkable and breaking free from the shackles of convention that have denied sport the opportunity to fulfil its true potential. Terry Alderton, we're going to start with you.
Yes.
And I've got here, red card, add a player.
Right, you're going to love this. OK, so the team that have been unfairly challenged, so the player's gone down, he's been tackled nasty. Yep. He's got to come off, Charlie.
High boot.
High boot. He's got to come off.
Studs,
you know,
up.
It's not fair. Red card is shown. Now, if the player has to go off, the team can either leave on the red carded player, you can stay on,
all right,
but they can add a player. And a substitute.
Oh, right. So they can either lose a player or the other team can have a player.
They can add a player. So it'll end up being 12 versus 11, but they also could bring on another goalkeeper if they want.
Two goalies?
Two goalies. It was quite funny because as I was telling this idea to you guys, you all came in to me. It was very nice to watch thinking, actually, I've got their attention. As soon as I said two goalkeepers, everyone was like, no, I'm out.
No way. This is like crazy gold now.
All right, let's pretend I never said two goalkeepers.
Yeah.
You could bring on another player, so you can go 10 versus 11.
Yeah.
Right? Or you can go 12 versus 11.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But here's the thing, you can't bring on another goalkeeper.
Well, that would be a crazy idea, wouldn't it? Right? That would be a ridiculous idea.
So you base it on how strong the player is who made the red card tackle. If they're a good player, then, you know, you want them off. You're going to go...
Well, that's it.
Logical thinking.
If they're a liability and they're having a bad game.
Why is she my partner?
Exactly. But what if, Terry, if you wanted to keep them with 11, who would you bring on? Another attacker or another defender?
That's the point. But don't, what if you do bring on another goalkeeper, because that would be stupid.
And is that it till the end of the game?
Till the end of the game. The other thing as well, if that player that's gone off has to be out for 10 weeks, player that caused the foul...
Yeah.
Also has to be out for 10 weeks.
Now you're getting into all sort of legal responsibility now.
An eye for an eye.
No, that's it.
I'm going to give you one goal.
Oh, you're out of order.
Ivo Graham, ban all international tournaments.
Yes. What are the two biggest problems in the world at the moment? The rise of nationalism and the climate crisis. Let's get rid of, let's not sort both of them out just like this, but I think one significant step would not be having the travelling circus. That is an international sports tournament. For example, a major international football tournament every 2 years. We're seeing in Australia, it is ludicrous that the Australian Open is going ahead, what with what's going on in Australia. And every couple of years, particularly when a country has to completely sort of go on some large-scale building project, like in Brazil, they have to build sort of five new stadiums just for the World Cup. It is an engineering nightmare. It is speeding up the death of this planet as we know it. And the tournaments often aren't any good anyway. Let's be honest. Let's focus on our domestic teams and let's focus on international club tournaments. Maybe you can still have the Champions League, I would say, which is always more exciting than the World Cup. The World Cup is an absolute bore-off.
Oh.
England, in my lifetime, there have been two fun international tournaments. There's been Euro 96 and there's been the World Cup 18 months ago. And apart from that, I couldn't care less about what's happening in any of them. We wouldn't miss it at all. You'd get a proper summer holiday. Comics would be able to get some audiences of their Edinburgh previews in July. And we wouldn't have millions of the world's worst people, international football fans, schlepping it around the globe, stinking up the tourist industries of countries they've never researched so that they can support their teams in a pointless, largely pointless tournament, Charlie. I don't want it.
Last week I suggested about cycling to tournaments.
You did, so, and getting the train as well.
I'm sorry that didn't catch up on the podcast, but there we are.
And Ivo, this is from a man who's... Where did you spend Christmas this year?
I went to Brazil,
there we are, yes. I'm so worried about his carbon footprint.
To check out the abandoned stadium in Belo Horizonte.
Brazil for Christmas. Okay, Ivo, I disagree with you completely, which I suppose is the whole point of the round.
Name of the game.
So I'm going to give you two goals.
Oh, right.
Just because...
It's not increased.
Because I can. So, which isn't the 3 out of 3, but there we are. Well done, Ivo. Natalie Sawyer, England should ditch the white shirt.
Yes, they should, and they should make the red strip their home colour. Name me one England fan that doesn't feel more confident when we play in red. It's not because we're all harking back to 66 in a sea of nostalgia. It's because red is the colour of a winner. Oof. England have won the last 17 games when they've worn red. Football teams that wear red are more successful generally as well. In 2008, an academic study found that since 1947, teams that wear red in all divisions are disproportionately successful. So that's science telling us that red is a winner. Red is a statement of aggression. It can make opponents feel intimidated, and it's like a beacon on the pitch, making it easier to spot your teammates. So we can only wonder what would have happened if England had worn red against Croatia in Russia. Things may well have been very different.
I think this must be some fact to this. Remember that grey kit in Euro 96?
We'd never worn it before.
The grey kit. Yes. We wore it in the set. That was a disaster, wasn't it?
Not good.
I mean, Exeter City is the only thing I can think of. They play in red, and I hate them. Swindon playing red, they're in League Two, so that can't be that good. If the science was...
Who's top of the league?
I know, but if the science was particularly good, wouldn't just all teams in red be in the Premier League? Everyone would be in their away kit all the time.
Because there's always anomalies.
Yeah.
But this is just fact.
This is just fact. Two goals, Natalie. Two goals. Very, very good. And Lindsay, we come to you last in this round, and you are telling us yellow cards for the whole team.
Yes, I wanted to use it to stamp out blatant diving and cheating with the introduction of a yellow card for the whole team. So when players go down like they've been shot and there's no contact, and especially when they go down holding their face when they've only had a tap on their arm, it's brought shame to the game for such a long time. And I feel like we could stamp it out by causing total humiliation for them and turning their teammates against them for behaving in such an embarrassing way. So we need to cause a backlash from the whole team. So if you're potentially going to get a ban because you've got a yellow card because of one of your teammates rolling around the floor, I think it would disappear overnight, because the managers, if they had, they put a stop to it quite quickly, they had players facing a ban, and I think it would be a good deterrent. If you were going to miss the game.
Well, if someone's on a yellow card already and they're going to get sent off because you've
then
been...
you go... Yeah, exactly. You lose the man. And then the team who has the most team yellow cards at the end of the season would be named and shamed, so everyone knows who the worst culprit is.
Yes.
And it's kind of like that thing in school where the teacher gives the detention to the whole class, even though it's just one person talking.
Lindsay, I mean, I know I'm supposed to disagree, but I 100% agree with you.
And is that not the idea of the round?
I don't think it's
though.
The idea of the round, but I'm just going to give you 3 goals, Lindsay.
Oh, yes. It's very, very good.
Jordan Henderson is a player who likes to do his business in the middle of the park.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both clubs' history. Terry and Lindsay, well, sounds like a sitcom. Yes. Terry and Lindsay, we're going back to 1969 and this.
Foggan all by himself, Foggan almost taken down, and Foggan has hit the crossbar. He scored! Foggan has scored. Alan Foggan, the substitute who came on, made a brilliant run, hit the ball, sent Mahalia, saved it, and he got the rebound.
Alan Foggan's goal saw Newcastle beat Újpesti Dozsa of Hungary 3-2 in the second leg of the Intercity Fairs Cup final, which they won 6-2 on aggregate. But what else do you remember of that year, Lindsay? I'm sure
Well, the fact I wasn't even born.
Were you there, Lindsay? No? Okay. Terry, you must have been there.
1969 was the year before I was born.
All right. Yeah. Okay. There we are. So there we are. No, we're going to have a good guess at these questions.
Okay.
First question. 1969 saw this man win his first league title.
The philosophy I've got is the fact that if there are 100 battles to be won when you take over a new job, you might as well get them all done in the first 3 months if you can. No point in saying, well, we'll take our time. Get him out of the road, and then you can clear the decks and get down to what you think is the right thing.
Are we talking about players here now?
Anything.
Brian Clough's Derby County were the runaway winners of the second division. But why did so many press photos at the time feature a woman called Patricia Whedon posing with the trophy? Was it A, she was the chairman's daughter, B, she was a much-loved tea lady approaching retirement, or C, she was the winner of the Miss Derby County Beauty Contest that year?
Well, it could be any of those, couldn't it?
I'd like to think it's because she was a much-loved tea lady. That would be the nice answer.
I think it's a nice answer, but that could just
be... Patricia Whedon, 1969.
Willie, Mrs. Whedon, the tea lady.
Surely they wouldn't just wheel out Miss Derbyshire.
Oh, I don't know. What year, 1969?
69,
wasn't Miss Derbyshire, Miss Derby County.
I think in tea lady could be... if you were writing this quiz, you go, what about a tea lady? That threw them. Throw them somewhere. I think tea lady's nonsense.
She was the chairman's daughter. She was a much-loved tea lady approaching retirement. She was the winner of the Miss Derby County Beauty Contest that year.
I reckon that's it.
Do you?
I think it would be something as crass and silly as that.
Going for that?
Go for it.
Do you want to go for it, though?
Well, I just hope it's wrong, but... Go for it.
That's
1969.
That's what we should go for.
You are correct. The answer is C. The Miss Derby County Beauty Contest was held every year at the Locarno Ballroom in Derby. Question two. As one manager was in the ascendancy, another announced his retirement that year.
And the chant now is Busby, Busby, Busby. Charlton, and where is the man everyone thinks of? Matt Busby. A tremendous moment for this great man.
Man United there, winning the European Cup under Sir Matt Busby, who stood down as Man United manager in 1969 after 25 years. But can you tell me which of the following facts about Sir Matt is false? A. He coached the British football team at the 1948 Olympics. B. The Beatles mentioned him in the song Dig It from the album Let It Be. C. He won over 50 caps for Scotland.
Can I be really stupid and ask you quickly, were the Olympics, was football involved back then at the Olympics? I'm not entirely sure whether I'm right or wrong, but I feel that...
And I don't know the song Dig It, so I couldn't...
I'm not sure that it's in that or not, but
now.
I would... The Scottish thing could be...
I'm going to push you for an answer.
Do you want to go with the Olympics?
He coached the British football team at the 1948 Olympics.
Let's go with that.
The Beatles mentioned him in the song Dig It from the album Let It Be. He won over 50 caps for Scotland.
He never did the England thing.
He never coached the British football team at the 1948 Olympics.
No, he did, didn't he?
He did, I'm afraid.
Ah.
He did not win over 50 caps for Scotland. He was only capped once. Oh. Question three. Speaking of the Beatles, they went into the studio for the final time in 1969. But what was the last song they recorded together as a band? Was it? Come together. Come together, or B.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
That was Octopus's Garden, or C.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
Or is it the end? Which one of those do you think it was?
Well, I'm not too sure what I'm about to say, but I'm going to have a go. I've got a feeling that Abbey Road is the last album, and that's the last song that they did, The End.
Yeah. All right.
But it wasn't the last album they put out. I think it was the penultimate album, and I can't remember what was the last album they sold, but Abbey Road was the last album they did. That was the last song.
The last one they recorded.
Yeah. But I'm going definitely The End. If I don't get this right, then I've just talked complete garbage.
Okay.
Let's find out. And in the end. So, at the end of that round, you scored 2 goals, which takes you to 8. Ooh, currently 8-7, Natalie and Ivo. We're going to go back to 1987.
Ooh.
And this.
Bamba in, good header. And now White. White still. But it has to be said, that wasn't very good defending by Gillingham. But let White in there. But it was very good finishing by Steve White.
There we are. Steve White scored both goals for Swindon in their 2-0 victory against Gillingham in the third division playoff final. But what else do you remember of 1987?
Wow.
Here we go. Question one. 1987 saw the playoffs introduced for the very first time. But what else was also mooted that season before the authorities had a change of heart? A. Mini camcorders attached to goalposts in an embryonic trial of goal line technology. B. The merger between West London rivals Fulham and QPR. C. The national anthem played before every kickoff.
Great options.
Camcorders, mergers, anthems.
Did you say small camcorders?
It said mini camcorders.
Not a chance.
Not in 1987, they were big, weren't they?
Yeah. They were huge.
Everything was bigger in the 80s. So what's your answer?
I don't know why the merger rings a bell.
Going with the merger?
We're going with the merger.
It is the merger. Ooh. There we are in 1987. Pleasure. Question two. 1987 was also the year of this.
He's away from Gillespie. Nicholas and Rocastle in the area. Nicholas!
Charlie Nicholas's second goal for Arsenal saw the Gunners beat Liverpool 2-1 in the League Cup final, which meant they were finally able to bury the misery of having lost to Swindon in the final in 1969, just after the Beatles recorded Abbey Road, their final studio album. But what else was particularly significant about that victory? Was it A, first time Liverpool had lost a game in which Ian Rush had scored? B, first time both managers in a League Cup final weren't English? Or C, first time the trophy was sponsored? What would it have been? It would have been the Littlewoods Cup, wouldn't it?
I don't think it's the third one.
Or the Milk Cup?
I think it's
Wimbledon's.
So Ian Rush or not English?
Ian Rush was my hero.
Who would have been the Liverpool and Arsenal managers in the early 80s?
I can't even think.
No, I can't even think either. I'd be very happy to go with this Ian Rush answer, actually.
Yes. I like that one.
Yes.
Let's go with that. Ian
with
Rush.
Ian Rush, the first time Liverpool had lost a game in which Ian Rush had scored. That is correct.
Oh, yes.
144 match unbeaten run. Question three. Which player that year broke the domestic transfer record? Was it?
Here's John Barnes. This could be number four. It is.
John Barnes, Watford to Liverpool, or?
Crossed again there for Brooking. Hit first time and what a save. What a monumental save by Peter Shilton.
Peter Shilton, Southampton to Derby, or was it?
Space for Beardsley. Three Liverpool players in the middle, if Beardsley needs them. He doesn't.
Peter Beardsley, Newcastle to Liverpool. Which player that year broke the domestic transfer record? Was it John Barnes, Peter Shilton, or Peter Beardsley? Lovely, isn't it? Lovely question.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, when you first hear we're going to talk about 1987, you think, oh, yeah, this is more contemporary to what you guys have. No, haven't a clue.
Not a clue, no. Didn't know Beardsley went to Liverpool.
Didn't you? He was excellent for Liverpool.
Yes.
Right. He'd be my answer for this.
Would he? All of them, though, I feel like.
Barnes feels too obvious.
B or C. Just say B or C.
B.
OK. Peter Shilton.
You're going with Peter Shilton? The answer is Peter Beardsley. Oh. There we are. What
a
name. For £1.9 million. So, in that round, you scored 2 goals, Swindon Town, which takes you to 9, which means the scores are currently Swindon Town 9, Newcastle United 8.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now here on Glory Hunters, we hold people to account, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face the scrutiny of the general public and have absolutely no idea what they'll ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. Yes, can we have our first question, please?
Hi there. I've never worked out why sports people dominate the after-dinner circuit. Surely people from other professions must have funny stories to tell. With that in mind, I wonder if the panel could share a funny story from their day job.
Their day job? There we are. Terry, have you ever had any other job outside of show business?
I used to work at a place called Freshfields, which is a solicitor's. Solicitors?
Yeah.
And I worked in the copying room. I was the guy who fixed the photocopiers on the floors when they broke down.
Ran out of toner, that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly what I used to do.
That's all I can think of would go
toner.
Wrong.
Paper jam.
Paper jam. Bring in the paper from downstairs, bring it all in.
Yeah. Skilled
put
work.
Put it everywhere. Skilled work. Very skilled. 18.
Double-sided. But outside of that, what's your best anecdote that you'd tell?
I can think of a time, actually, going to do, when I was new to London, doing comedy, and I was driving, if you know London, I was at the Oval.
Oh, yeah.
If you know the Oval. Yeah. The cricket ground, and I was there, there's a set of lights there near Brixton and Streatham, and I didn't know where Streatham was at that point. And I got to the lights, and there was a guy standing there. I said, "Excuse me, do you know where Streatham is?" And he was a lovely little fella, came over, big smiley face. And I'm assuming he was from Nigeria because he just went to me, "Streatham." And I went, "Yes, yeah, Streatham. Do you know where it is, please?" And he went, "Streatham." And I went, "Yeah." And he went, "Streatham." And in the end, he's giggling, he's laughing, and the lights had changed numerous amount of times, and I think we need to get going here, pal, because I'm late for the gig. I said, "Please, do you know where it is or not?" And he went, "Please listen to me. Strut on." Bless his heart, he was laughing and laughing. Yeah. He could go, "Strut on." And I'm going, "Yes, strut on." He's going,
desperation.
Strut on. I went, "Yes, strut on. Please listen."
Lovely.
That's why he went,
lovely.
He's laughing. He went, "Please listen. Strut on."
Beautiful. Two goals, Terry. Lindsay.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if this is funny if you don't know me, ma'am, but okay. It's, it makes me laugh when I think of it now. This is kind of how my day job started, really. So it was after I finished university and I was up in Newcastle and we were out. England were playing at St James's Park. I think it was when they had the World Cup qualifiers at different grounds. I think it was Albania or something. So we'd all been out having a good few drinks. My mum and dad were out and I was moaning to them sort of throughout the night that I was really struggling to get a job, you know, and I'm getting this, it doesn't matter how many CVs I send, I'm getting the same old knockback, you know, if you haven't got any experience. And it's like, how am I supposed to get any experience if no one will give me any in the first place?
A tale as old as time, Lindsay. Yeah.
So we're all fairly drunk at this point, and then this people carrier pulls up at the bar, and I recognise Garth Crooks get out, and I sort of said to my mum and dad, I said, "Oh, that's all the lot from the BBC. They must have been at St James's Park tonight." So before I could stop her, my mum marches over, and I'm like, "No, I'll go and say hello for you."
Brilliant.
Like, dying inside, she's in proper Geordie man mode, half a lager and lime in hand, goes to introduce herself. she's there chatting for ages. And then when she comes back, she hands me this business card. It's that, that little man with the grey hair over there just said, you know, send him an email, send him your CV, and he'll help you get some work experience. So I look down at the card. Greg Dyke. I said, Mam, you do know that's the director general of the BBC that you've just accosted.
Fantastic.
Drunk in a bar in Newcastle.
Brilliant.
And she said, oh, shy Ben's getting out. And
shy Ben's getting out.
And funny enough, I emailed him, sent him my CV, and he passed it on, and they got me work experience at Radio Newcastle.
What's your mum's name?
Linda.
Linda, you've smashed that. Thank you so much, Linda.
Brilliant. Not a clue.
Don't ask
brilliant. Exactly. Yeah, brilliant story. Three goals, Linda. Lindsay. Ivo Graham.
2.5 years ago, I had the good fortune to support Jack D on his work in progress tour of the commuter belt. Hemel Hempstead, Hitchin, Tring, all the big ones. And I would go on beforehand, quite right, and do a bit of my thing.
Be weird the other way around.
I think it would be. Well, it actually was the other way around in Tring because my train got delayed, so Jack D had to support me. And the people of Tring did not think it was appropriate.
Classic Graham.
You say classic Graham, but all the trains at Euston were down and I had left enough time. You can't prepare for everything in this life, Charlie. So in Hitchin, I'd done my usual solid but unspectacular stuff.
Oh, come on.
The kind of 7 out of 10 performance that makes me the perennial support act that I am. I'll do well, but I won't blow the audience away. I'll leave some room for afters. And after that, I thought, I'll tell you, I haven't had dinner. I'm going to watch Jack, but I'm going to have a curry from round the corner while doing it. So I went to get a takeaway curry from Hitchin in the place next door. I brought it back, but what's it called? The tannoy that plays it through, that's not what it's called. That plays it through to the dressing room. Yeah. What's that called?
The tannoy.
It wasn't working. Yeah. So I couldn't hear Jack, but in my head, I wanted to listen to Jack and have my lovely curry. Lovely. So I thought, I'll just eat it in the wings.
Oh, yeah, you love that, wouldn't he? I bet he loved that.
What do you mean?
He
doesn't need to know about that.
Your blimmin' Saag paneer wafting through.
Well, Charlie, you beat me to the punch. I had a Saag paneer and it did waft through. I'm listening to Chat D having a lovely curry, and about halfway through his set, he goes, can anyone else... he actually said, can anyone else smell cup of soup? So he'd not guessed right.
This wasn't one of his hilarious observations
on life. No, but how the smell of cup of soup permeates every aspect of everyday life. No, because in this case, it did. And he came and the curtain was pulled back to reveal me just sat having a curry at a table in the wings of his gig, which wasn't a massively dignified end to the tour, you'd have to say.
Not to win is guttering. I don't know where you got that one from, Nobes. That's Mark Noble, West Ham.
I've been rocking and rolling ever since I left school. Cruising along just playing a fool. I never felt like nothing at all except music and football quizzes. From TalkSport, this is Glory Hunters, the podcast. Time now for our two team captains to step up to the plate as I ask them to debate which sport do they rate as the very toughest. Now, they're free to interpret that in any way they wish, and the goals go to the most convincing. Natalie, Terry, you have 30 seconds each. Natalie, I'm going to start with you. Which sport is the toughest?
Well, I did think long and hard about this. I thought about mentioning UFC. Bear in mind, we talked about Khabib a little bit earlier on. Even hurling. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that is crazy. Both brutal in their own rights. But for me, the toughest sport surely has to be water polo. Plenty of kicking and grabbing with a few sly blows, no doubt, within the pool. You need to have speed, you need to have strength to compete. So just imagine you also have to tread water for 30 minutes because you're not allowed to touch the floor. And this is an intense contact sport. Not only are you competing, you have to avoid drowning as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, it's water polo.
Terry Alderton, which is the toughest sport?
Well, toe wrestling is what I went for, a sport in 1974, it was invented at the Ye Old Oak Inn in a place called Wetton in Ashbourne, which is in Derbyshire.
Okay.
And there were a few other sports. There was four people in this pub, and they thought, we haven't got any world champions and anything, and we need to get this sorted out. So they firstly did ear wrestling, and they did push a ball, which was using a scaffold pole. Can't imagine what that was like, but
tug of war, with a solid
with a solid scaffold.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
But they ended up with toe wrestling, and that was Peter Cheaton, Eddie Stansfield, Peter Dean, and Mick Dawson. They were the creators, and lo and behold, the first ever world champion was Mick Dawson. But I have to say, this is a, if you're not aware of what happens, what the two combatants
get
together.
It doesn't sound very tough so far.
No, they do. What they have to do, they have to have their feet judged by the official, and they have to have no fungus and no injuries.
Oh.
And then they lock toes face to face. They lock toes and you have to push each other over the line, if you like, you know, left and right. With your big toe, so your big toe interlocks with the other big toe. I know, it's mad. And the big daddy at this moment in time, the world
daddy
champion,
was in it,
the,
big, was
well, the guy he looks like, his name is Alan Nasty Nash. And he has been the world champion since they started the world championships. And even in 1997, after his championship win, he appeared on the Jay Leno show. Which, bearing in mind, this only actually does take place in the Ye Old Oak in Wetton. Now, here's the thing, right? Toe wrestling, not only is it physically and also health threatening, you know, as a sport, you can lose toenails, dislocation, breakage, fungal cross contamination, athlete's foot, verrucas, of course, the list goes on and on, clawing toes, mallet toes, and shanked foot syndrome, which is one I just made up.
But okay.
I think toe is miles worse than anything to do with water and polo.
There we are. Terry Oldham thinks the roughest sport in the world is toe wrestling, only played in that one pub in Derbyshire. The roughest sport in the world. Natalie, I think you won that feet down.
Thank you.
I was going to say hands down, but you won that feet down. In the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. The losing side goes first. Current losing side is Lindsay and Terry, Newcastle United. I'm going to list a series of bizarre injuries players have cited in the past for missing games. All you've got to do is tell me which are true and which are false. Jurgen Klopp will tell you when your time is up.
Adrian! Like Rocky! Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Jurgen. Do you understand what you've got to do?
I do.
It's true or false, basically. Yeah. If you think the injury is a real one, you say true. Your time starts now. Pulling a muscle in a kickabout with prison inmates.
True.
It is true. Carlos Tevez hit by a runaway cow.
False.
It's true. Sam Henderson put back out pulling a wheelie.
False.
It's false. Drilling through a blister.
True.
It's true. Darius Vassell burnt hands on an oven tray.
False.
It's false. Dropping a jar of salad cream on
true.
Foot.
That's
Dave
true.
Besson. Good. Injuring toe when trying to wake Gazza.
True.
It's true. Brian Robson. Bad shaving cut.
False.
It's false. Tripping over a groundsman's sign during warm-up.
True.
It's true. Richard Wright. Dislocating jaw whilst barking instructions at defenders.
False.
It's true. Alex Stepney. Injuring back picking up a football.
False.
It's false. Electric shock from TV remote.
False.
It's false. Lifting an ironing board.
True.
It's true. Michael Stensgaard burnt by a poached egg.
False.
It's true. Kurt Broadfoot getting up from a chair too quickly.
True.
It's false. Tripping over a sleeping moose.
True. False. True.
Oh, go on.
It's true. Car rolling over foot at petrol station.
False.
False.
It's true. Ever Benega.
Adrian!
Oh, there's Jurgen.
You know what?
I think you did really well. You did very well. 13 goals. So at the end of that round, you are on 34 goals, playing 25 currently. Swindon Town, Ivo and Natalie. I'm going to list a further series of bizarre injuries. Just have to tell me if it's true or false.
Okay.
You need how many? Let's work it out. You need 9 to draw, 10 to win. When your time is up, you will hear this sound.
That is the last question. Thank you very much indeed.
Here we are, good old Cluffy. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Poking themselves in the eye with a boarding card.
True.
It is true. Milan Rapajic. Mistaking a suppository for a painkiller.
False.
It's true. Romalo.
Oh, sorry.
Breaking teeth chewing a toffee.
False.
It's false. Getting bitten by a snake at the airport.
True.
It's true. Romero. Pulling a muscle whilst getting out of bed.
True.
It is true. Leroy Lita. Putting neck out while reversing car.
Oh, true.
It's false. Ligament strain sliding on knees.
True.
It's true. Sergio Garcia. Blister infection whilst dancing to Gangnam Style.
False.
It's true. French midfielder Adil Rami.
What?
Hit in the eye by a ring pull from a can of Coke.
False.
It's true. Finnish striker Jari Litmanen. Dislocating thumb whilst giving thumbs up to supporters.
False.
It is false. Tendon strain after lengthy session on the PlayStation.
True.
It's true. Rio Ferdinand. Knee strain whilst driving.
True.
It's true. Alan Wright. Scalding hand with tea at half time.
False.
It is false. Ankle injury while playing basketball.
True.
Courtois, yes. Putting back out taking a throw in.
True.
It's false.
Ah,
tweaking. That is the last question. Thank you very much indeed.
I did start, so I'm going to say it. Tweaking shoulder whilst trying to land a monster carp.
True.
It is true. David James. So at the end of that round, you scored 11,
oh,
right, which takes you to 36, which means Swindon Town, you beat Newcastle United 36-34. Lindsay.
Story of my life.
Second time you've appeared, second time you've lost, yeah. Is that correct, Terry?
Three times, three losses.
Three times, three losses, a team of losers.
Losers.
Can you take any positives from it whatsoever?
We had a lovely day.
Yeah, a lovely day. You were always nice to see you.
We had a nice latte.
And Ivo, second victory, is that?
I believe it is my second victory.
Congratulations.
It was all Natalie today.
It was all Natalie, wasn't it? Natalie really stepped up to the plate.
It's just nice that the minnows come out on top once again.
It's always good, isn't it? Yes. It's always good,
yes,
when Swindon beat anyone.
Yes. Sit down and
talk United. So, to our winners, we say, come together right now over me. And for the losers, my thanks to Natalie, Terry, Lindsay, and Ivo. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, is goodbye. There it is, the minnows, Swindon minnows, ooh, trouncing Newcastle United. Not trouncing, beating Newcastle
scraping
United.
Scraping through.
Scraping through, you think, Swindon, yeah, there. There we are, like
cry
a big
inside the, yeah, Sports Direct Museum now.
And Ivo,
yes,
pretty triumphant there.
It's been a great season for Swindon, and it just keeps getting better.
Keeps going on.
We're not
it?
Scared
keeps
of anyone.
On. Very good. Now, I did say at the beginning of the podcast that we, Natalie, we,
yes,
found out about your heritage. Of course, the red shirts or the white shirts.
Yep. Yep.
We did ask the TalkSport Twitter arty, and the results are back in, and they said they preferred the white shirt, 70-30.
They're not listening to the scientific
data. So once again, Natalie, out of step with the British public. There we are. This is Glory Hunters. Thanks for listening to us. Please download and subscribe.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.